set things straight around the house. And she sees her mom kind of correct dad from time to time. And all these things kind of happen. And when Jordan was growing up, she was at home before she got married, which is almost 6 years ago, right, baby? 6 years. Growing up at home, she never saw things in the light that she does now. So when she comes home and sees the interaction, she says, "Mama, I know so much more now." I don't know if that's a compliment or not, but amen. Love you dearly. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. Today we'll continue part two of knowing God. Knowing God is a key part of our walk with Him. It's kind of hard to trust somebody that you don't really know. And the Lord, He makes it clear that He wants us to be in relationship with Him, not to just know about Him, but to know Him. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." There's a growing, there's a maturing. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this special day as we recognize our moms. Thank You, Lord, for our mothers. Pray for continued blessing upon them. And thank You for Your word today. I pray that it will encourage all of us, Lord, to draw closer to You, to know You more, to trust You, to learn from You and Your ways. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. A few weeks ago, I was helping a young lady that needed some documentation, needed some very important papers to do what she was planning to do. And we worked with her, and it was clear that the process that was supposed to be the process was not a successful process. We just hit roadblock after roadblock. So I happened to think of a gentleman that I've known for a long, long time, and I made a phone call. And just so happened to be the right person. And within 24 hours, that situation was in line. She got the paperwork that she needed and was able to move forward. And I thought about that this week as I was studying and praying about how God is in our life, and we try to do things in our own ritual and our own routines sometimes, and we forget that God holds all the answers. We forget that He could do things a lot quicker, a lot more efficiently, and take the burden from us if we'll just allow Him to do it. But we've got to, it's kind of like me making that phone call. Had I not made the phone call, I couldn't have expected the help of this gentleman to help in the situation. And so as we know God, as we trust God and draw closer to Him, we know that we can turn things over. Even, it doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be a mortgage. It could be a decision that we need to make this afternoon. It could be any, God cares about the small things too. He cares about the small things. And God does care about, He cares about our salvation. But He also cares about our sickness and about our backaches and about the cancer. He cares about all these things, small, medium, and large. He cares. So it's not necessarily who we know as long as we know the right person. We can know everybody, but it may not be the person that we need to know. And I want to demonstrate to you through the Word of God today that God is our answer. God is the solution. He's our answer, and He should be our go-to. He knows all things. He knows everything. And one encounter with God, one encounter with Jesus Christ, can change your entire life. Miss Ann, these years after that one demonstration of God creating that miracle, that creative miracle, that the doctor said you would never give birth to a child, he's alive and well today because of that one encounter with Jesus Christ. He changes our life. He changes our emotions. As Crystal was praying a while ago, our God, heal our emotions, heal our pain, heal our hearts. Why? Because God wants to do that. There's a place that we've got to come to release those things to God and allow Him to take them and to make it better. Hebrews 11:6 says, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It didn't say casually seek him, just in passing. I pray, yeah, I know God. I pray every once in a while. He says he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's on purpose. That's taking time to know him. How can you know God when you can't see him? You know him by his word. You know him by listening to him. You know him by pouring out your heart to him. A knowing comes in a spiritual way that we understand how God operates and how God loves us so much that everything that God does is for you. Everything. There's a man in the Bible that I want us to look at today, and we know him very well. We've talked about him. We learned about him in Sunday school. Moses was a man that demonstrated the power of God, but Moses within himself was nothing. As a matter of fact, Moses thought that he would be stuck in his own parameters. And that's why Moses had a very difficult time knowing God to the extent that he trusted God to do what God said he would do through his life. God spoke to Moses, but Moses was at a place that he didn't think it was possible that he could do what God had called him to do. Why? Because Moses knew his limitations. Does anybody know that feeling that you know how far you can go, you know your limitations, and you block yourself and actually the hand of God by what you know about yourself rather than what you know about God? Knowing God will release the limitations, will take off the limitations of your life, to know that God can do anything. And there were many reasons why Moses should have been passed by. God should have chosen someone else that was a little bit more polished, that could at least talk. Moses couldn't even talk without stuttering. And God chose him. So, I mean, Moses had some legitimate excuses that God should have just passed on by, and maybe, God, you've made a mistake because I'm not measuring up to what I think I should measure up to for you to do what you're needing me to do. And so as Moses grew up, he became a man. He made some mistakes. Wow, imagine that. Moses was human and he made mistakes. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he took a man's life. He murdered a man. He made some mistakes. Then he ran into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 years. And so we pick up here in Exodus 3, verses 1 to 6, where Moses is 80 years old. It says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midian. And Moses led the flock to the back of the desert. That's an interesting term. Sometimes that's kind of where we find our relationship with God, is in the back of the desert, is away from private and just away from everything, not really having a relationship with God, but back in the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. In verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. We talked last Sunday about how good God is getting our attention. He knows what it takes to get your attention. And I found out that it's better for me to go ahead and give him his attention without him trying to push those buttons. Those buttons are not fun. Oh my word. You learn from those things. So God knows if it's light in a bush around you where it doesn't even consume it, God will do what he has to do to get your attention when he's trying to communicate with you. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside in verse 3 and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that Moses turned to him, when the Lord saw that Moses had given him his attention, God called to Moses from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then God said to Moses, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the ground where you stand is holy ground. God was setting Moses up for an encounter like Moses had never had. This was not just simply a, and experience it at the Jacksonville Zoo. This was not a place where, oh, look at that, and then keep walking past and see the kangaroos and the elephants. This was an encounter with God that God wanted to use to change Moses' life, to get his attention. This was a demonstration that God was giving Moses. See, anything, if God can make a donkey talk, he can make a bush burn, he can cause you to fulfill his purpose in life too. Amen. He can give you everything you need. Moreover, God said, I am the God of your father. He's reminding him of things that Moses already knew. The God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Have you ever been there? God, I'm ashamed. I don't want to look at you. I know you love me, but God, you don't really know who I am. You found yourself guarded against God? Moses was there. He hid his face. But if we look in chapter 33 of Exodus, verse 11, we see a contrast between what we've just read in Exodus 3:6 and what we see in Exodus 33:11. It says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. There's a transformation. There's a transformation from Moses hiding his face to God to looking him face to face. The Bible says, speaking to God, having God speak to him as a friend. See, there's eventually a place that we can come to of relationship with God to where it's like family. He's like family. And he is. He's Father God. He's given us life. He's given us the breath in our lungs, as we just sung about. But eventually there's a place of closeness that God brought Moses to see God face to face, that Moses was not hiding his face. Hiding our face, saying, I don't understand you. I can't communicate with you. You're much better than I am. I'm small me. Moses went from that to communicating with God, the God of the universe, the very one that created everything. So there's something major that happened. And God had a purpose. God had a purpose in all this because God knew what Moses could do. God knows what you can do. God knows what you can do much better than you know what you can do. But getting Moses to see God's intention, to see God's heart for him, was where he had to come to receive God's calling. And so I think that there are four excuses here that Moses made that we can probably identify with. There are four excuses that Moses was legit. He had a point. All four of these are truth, but God wanted to prevail over what was factual in Moses' life that was a limitation to him. The first excuse that we see Moses make was, who am I? Moses would say, God, who am I? Many times we don't receive what God's got for us because we don't know who we are in him. Number one, we are a creation of God. Whether we recognize God as our Savior, whether we recognize Jesus Christ as our Lord or not, God is our Creator. There's not any human breathing have ever breathing or will ever breathe that God has not created. God has created every single human being. The breath, the life. Who am I? Moses wanted to know who I am. That's a strange excuse. It's a strange excuse, but it's one that I believe we can identify with. Who am I to have your attention? Who am I for you to speak to me? Who am I for you to demonstrate yourself through a burning bush? Who am I for you to work these situations in my life just to get my attention? God, who am I? And it limits who we are because we're not seeing ourselves. It's a self-portrait. It's a matter of seeing ourselves the way God sees us. Not in an arrogant way. That's pride. God is not the author of pride, but God is the author of you seeing yourself the way he sees you. Knowing that we can't have life, we can't do anything without the help of God. And that if there's any, you've heard me say it, if there's any good in me, it's only God. 11 and a half years, you know me well enough to know that, praise God. If there's any good in me, it's God. It's not within myself. And without God, we are nothing. So we come to that realization that God is not implanting into us an arrogance, but what he is implanting into us is for us to see ourselves as a creation of God, that he has created everything that he has made for our good. And the trouble that we face in life, and we face trouble, we'll face more trouble. The trouble that we face in life, he loves us so much that he's going to cause those things to work together for our good too. That's how big God is. That's how much God loves you. And so Moses had a current view of his past issues. He was judging his future by his limitations of the past. Let that sink in for a second. How many times do we do that? Moses says, I can't speak. God says, I'll give you the words to say and the ability to speak. And so our issues in life, we know us. We know the issues that we've dealt with since the day we were born. Some of us have memories of being 8 years old and hiding from our mom's voice and, you know, being knuckleheads. And so we know that we're that way, so we judge our future. God says, you can do this, you can do that. God, you must not have seen this. You must not have seen what I did yesterday or last week or last year, 10 years ago. God, you haven't got a record of that. We judge ourselves. We have a current view of us based on our past issues. That's not anything that God does. He sees you through the eyes of pureness, of light. That's why he's able to forgive us even from the cross before we were ever thought of. Because he sees us, get this, he sees us as innocent before him. If that doesn't put it in perspective. So we can't allow our issues, past or present, if you want to put it that way, we can't allow our issues to hinder us from God's blessings. God wants to bless you in spite of your issues. Come on. Who was it that said this morning, was it Brother Ben said, God help us to see that we're not here in church because we're perfect Christians, we're here because we're sinners and need you. So God knew Moses had issues. God wanted to use Moses anyway. Exodus 3, 11 and 12 says, but Moses said to God, who am I? That was Moses' excuse. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Why are you asking me to do something that I'm not capable of doing? Moses was convinced that, God, you're talking to the wrong dude. Who am I? So God said in verse 12, I will certainly be with you. I will certainly be with you. Moses, I'm sending you, but I'm not sending you out on your own. I'm not sending you out in your strength, your weaknesses. I'm sending you out on who I am in you so that you can do all things that I've set out for you to do. So when Moses says, who am I? God says, you're going out because of me. You're representing me, and I'm giving you all that you need to do that and to represent me well. That's the same thing that God's telling us today. Who are you? You go forth in the power and the might of God. The only way that you can go out without the power of God, without the might of God, is for you to refuse it. That's the only way. Otherwise, God wouldn't have said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not leaving us. When we find ourselves detached from God, it's not him pulling away, it's us pulling away from him. We feel that we're alienated. We feel that we're off in a place that God isn't. That's because we've left him. He hasn't left us. And it is possible for us to leave him, believe me. I've been in places where God is nowhere around. It's not because he didn't want to be there. It's because I ran from him. Has anybody else ever experienced that? And so God doesn't want us to live by our abilities. God wants us to live by his abilities. God doesn't want us to live by our weakness or strength, if you want to put it that way. I'm strong enough, I can handle this. Be careful. I can't do anything in my strength. I've got to have the strength of God. And so God hasn't called us to operate in our own strength, our own abilities, our own talents. God gives us abilities, God gives us talents, but they're nothing without Him. Without Him touching that, without Him anointing that thing. Now we know that there are seasons to where some people will go a little while and then fall off the cliff. And so God is allowing them mercy and grace for a certain period of time. I don't know how long that is. It's not like the bank's 5 days or 10 days. There's not a grace period with God. God takes care of us individually. He knows when we need 5 days. He knows when we need 30 days. He knows when we need 30 years. And so God deals with us individually. But He wants our abilities to be anointed by Him. He wants our abilities to be blessed by Him to where they can be effective for our lives and the lives of others. See, God didn't come just to make us happy where we can live in our own little private world and say, well, everything is good, and just wave to the neighbors. God has given us blessings so that we're blessed, but also that we can bless others. If we look at the life of Jesus, that's what He enjoyed. A meal, He enjoyed sitting down and talking and in private with one, two, and three people. But you know what? He also went to the multitudes, and He also went and went to the sinners and made conversations, struck up conversations with sinners. He actually started the conversation. And so that's how we should pattern our life. We see our abilities the way that God sees our abilities. We see who we are by the way God sees who we are. And so our attention, when we want to limit ourselves, our attention should be on God's abilities and not on our abilities. Because you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Verse 12, God said to Moses, "And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you," God told Moses. "I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." And so this gives us the answer. The answer is found who we are in Titus 3 and verse 4 and 5. "But when the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to God's mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." That's the answer of who we are right there. And it's not, your social security number doesn't have to start in a certain number to qualify for this. You qualify. You're breathing, you qualify. Second excuse Moses used was, who is God? He first said, who am I? And now, who is God? Well, Moses knew God, right? Moses questioned who God was. He didn't know the power of God. He didn't know the limitless power. He didn't know all that God could do. Otherwise, he would have no doubt that he could say, God, I'm with it. I'm with you. I can do this because you called me to do it. But there was a limit on what Moses knew about God, because he didn't trust that God could do what he was calling him to do. So Moses questioned, God, who are you? Then Moses said to God in Exodus 3, verses 13 and 14, Moses said to God, "Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, 'For the God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they say to me, 'What is your name?' What am I going to say? What do I say?" Moses said. And God said to Moses, "Tell them that I am who I am." Well, now that's a neat name. Tell me really though, what, you're kidding. What do you, tell them I am who I am. That's who sent you. God is awesome, isn't he? Tell him I am who I am. In other words, there's no start and there's no ending. God is. God am. God was. He is. He always. God am. And he said, "This you shall say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent me to you." Knowing God is knowing that he can do anything. God is. He's complete. Start to finish. Well, that's not accurate because there's no start and no finish. That's why he said, I am, I is. There's no proper way to say that in English. Jeremiah 32:17 gives us the answer. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. That's God. That's I am who I am. So we have to be careful. Do we talk more about the problems than we do about I am? Who is God? God is the answer to all our problems. Do we spend more time talking about the problems, or do we spend more time talking about the solution? I'm one that we need to recognize the problem, because you can't very well come up with a solution without knowing what the problem is. So you got to know the problem. But if we spend half the day talking about a problem, that I've got an issue with that. I'm ready to recognize the problem, but okay, now let's work twice as hard on the solution. What are the solutions? The way I like to do things, I just like to come up with a list of possibilities. What are the answers? So what are some of the options? So we've got a list of options. So now let's narrow down the answers to the solution and put our heads together and find out what can we do. Well, God already has the answer to it. We've got to seek the face of God. Say, God, here's my problem. This is my situation. I mean, he already knows it anyway. We just have to sometimes hear ourselves say it. Get the question, get the problem out of us, get it out of our head, verbalize it, get it to God. God says, okay, now this is what you need to do. Here's the scripture. This is what I want you to do. And in our obedience with God, God unfolds the answer. You say, well, how do you know what bank to call? I don't. But lo and behold, somebody from that bank calls me. By the way, so-and-so. And it's like, God, I just prayed about this, and God, is that you? It's amazing how God puts things in your life. So, God, I'm praying about this certain situation, this person, whatever. Well, lo and behold, in 5 minutes, that person calls me. God, is that you? Are you? Of course. It's God working these things out. So I'm not saying that the screen pops up in your office or wherever you are and says, thus saith God. Big letters. You have 5 minutes to make this phone call. God, I'm not saying that God can do that. But we have to listen to God. We've got to know God that he can work all these things out. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And so we don't limit our thinking by our speaking. See, we can talk ourselves right out of a blessing because we're talking about the problem. So we can't limit our thinking from our speaking. We've got to speak the word of God, what word that we do know, what word that we know to speak, and God will create our thinking out of our speech, and then he'll create something out of nothing from what we're thinking. God is just awesome. Does that make sense? Amen. The next excuse Moses used, suppose they. That was one of Moses' hang-ups. Suppose they don't believe me. Suppose they don't listen to me. Suppose they don't talk to me. Suppose they shun me. Suppose they don't like me. Suppose they judge me. Suppose they look at me wrong. Suppose they. And so this suppose they limited Moses' reaction to God because he was more concerned about what they may do or say than he was about what God was saying. Suppose they. Exodus 4:1. Then Moses answered and said this to God, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice, suppose they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. Well, okay. Well, if they say so, suppose they. We limit God's influence in our life. We limit our ability to obey God because that may they. Who are they, anyway? Who are they? Are they important? Not important, more important than God. They're important enough for God to send his son Jesus Christ to die for them, but they're not more important that you should listen to them over God. And so Moses said, suppose they. God, while I'm trying to weigh out if I'm going to obey you or not, suppose they don't like me. Suppose they. Thank God for his patience. You know, if that was one of us, we'd have knocked him upside the head. What are you thinking? But really, that's a representation of us. We make the same excuses. God, I can't do that. Suppose they think I'm crazy. Suppose they think I don't know what I'm talking about. Suppose they say that that wasn't a burning bush after all. It was a dream. It was a nightmare. Suppose they don't believe me. Listen, if we're looking for the affirmation of the world, we'll never do anything for God. We probably will never have the affirmation of the world. And in 2021, you can count it less. What that does is build strength. Builds a strength. It helps us to find who we are in God and to know that he's our strength, he's our purpose, he's our word, he's our life. Don't allow the opinion of others to talk you out of your greatest blessing. We see the greatest blessing of Moses as we read ahead another time, read ahead of the way God used Moses. We see that Moses relied on God, and that would have been stopped. The greatest blessing in Moses' life would have been stopped had he listened to what they said and what they might say and what they might do. In John 12, 42 and 43 says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to confess the Lord because somebody might be offended. In verse 43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. So we can't base our obeying God on the opinion of others. We care for others, we love others as Christ did, but we don't get the source of our answers, we don't get the source of our obedience to God from man, right? We get the source of our obedience to God because he said so. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all, say all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So when we truly trust God, there's no safer hands to be in than God's hands. Our problem is that we don't see the hands. God, if you just show me the hands, if you show me the stability of what I'm about to step into here, and maybe give me a little 48-hour process here, but Paul said this in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for first the Jew, also for the Greek. Number four, last point I want to make is, I've never done that. I can't do that because I've never done that. Moses said that. I've never done that. Some things we're excited about. The first time I cranked a car up and sat behind a steering wheel when I was 15 years old, I could do that. Why? Because I wanted to kick up some dirt. I wanted to see what I could do in that car. But then there are other things that are beyond us that we've never done it, so we're not comfortable doing it, and I don't want to do that because I've never done it. We use it as an excuse because we're fearful of doing that thing, so that's just as good of an excuse as any. I've never done that, so I can't do that. Well, that's just a trick of the enemy trying to cheat you out of God's blessing and favor on your life. Everything that God will ever ask us to do will probably be against our norm. God has rarely ever asked me to do something that I was comfortable with. He stretched the tar out of me. My word. And he's good at doing that. He'll stretch us. But there's blessing in that. Number one, it helps us to see God greater, because God, there's no way I could do that without you directing me to do that. It's not within me to do it. And so our trust and our faith in God builds even greater But God will require us to step out of our comfort zone. He'll cause us to step out of our routine, out of our norm. But he blesses in that. I was reminded this week when I was thinking and praying about restaurants. Restaurants these days, when they first open, they do a soft open. We're going to have a soft opening. Well, what that really is that our mistakes and our blurbs and that raw chicken you're about to get, we've got an excuse for it because this is a soft opening. Oh, okay, that's okay, it was raw. This is a soft opening. That's not the way they used to do it. When you open your restaurant, you open your restaurant, right? And I'm picking on restaurants. I love restaurants, as you know, and love the people that run them and have good ones. But we expect God to do the same thing in our life. I mean, God is gracious. He's loving. But you know what? He wants us to go all in. He don't want us just to put a little toe in here, put a little toe in there. He wants us to go all in to where we trust him and say, God, if you're in this, I'm going to sink or swim. And when it's God, he causes you to swim every time. Singing about Peter getting out of the boat a while ago. Jesus called Peter out of the boat. Well, he sunk. Well, that's what happens when you get your eyes off of Jesus. But he can cause you to float. I get in my pool and I sink like a rock to the bottom. God can cause you to float in life. God, when you step out of the boat, God can keep your eyes on him, and he'll show you just how awesome he is to cause you to do what he's called you to do. We've got to get out of, you know, and we can't let age be the determining factor. Well, I'm too old to try that. No, you're not. No, you're not too old to try that. Never too old. What happens is we say we're too old, so we think we're too old. That's what I was talking about a while ago. We say things and we think it. We are limited because that's what we believe, you know. You're not too old. Your bones may ache a little more than what they did 30 years ago, but you're not too old. It's okay. I refuse to get old. I know it. Let me meddle for a minute. We need to see ourselves how God sees us and not limit ourselves by what we think we're supposed to be limited by. Amen. And then on the other hand, we've got people that say, well, I can't do that because I'm too young. I'm not experienced enough. No, if God calls you to do something, you can say things beyond your years of maturity. God can cause you to say things that Billy Graham hadn't thought of saying. Why? Because you're tapped into the source and God's giving you the words. It's not from something you studied in school. Thank God for school. Thank God for studying. But you know what? God can override all that stuff. I don't know that the disciples ever finished their college degree. I don't know that they did. They're pretty cool guys and followed God. Now, they made mistakes, but we can learn from their life. And so there's a reason why God has called you. There's a reason why God has called you. And God has a calling on your life that only you can do. Nobody else on the entire face of this earth, out of all the millions of people, nobody can do what God has called you to do. It's only you that can do that. And see, the power of God works in you to cause those things to happen. We've got to trust him to do that. Our major blessing in life will come out of doing something for the first time that God's called us to do. You'll be scared silly, you'll be nervous and have sweaty palms. But you know what? It's okay. It's healthy. It's healthy. Yesterday I was at the women's conference and that sounds strange. Yes. I just realized how that sounds. And if you weren't here last Sunday, you'll know. So they were having a women's conference. They have a women's conference every year, and they asked me to kind of be part of the band to play and play the music and all that. Anyway, so we were in one of the breaks, and somebody had got some coffee. I said, coffee? Where's coffee? So we were going down to get some coffee, and somebody said, that coffee is so strong that it can grow hair on your chest. And I said, well, good. I'll take a cup, maybe it'll grow hair on my head. Amen. I don't know where that came from. God gives you instructions beyond your abilities. He can cause growth to come out of nothing, right? Wow. What happened? But he causes us to step out in faith. Exodus 4:10 says, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue.'" See, there was a step of faith that Moses had to step out onto. A step of faith means that we're stepping out onto something that we think is nothing there, but God has put a foundation there, but we've got to trust him. That's what faith is. It doesn't take faith for me to go to that light switch and turn the light on. Why? Because I know when I flip that switch, the light will be there. Right? It takes faith for me to go to a light switch that has no wire running to it and turn it on and expect the light to come on. That's, well, it's either faith or something else. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." We talked about it a while ago. Stepping out in faith. Stepping out in faith. James 2:26 says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, faith without works is dead." So we can have faith in God. We say we have faith in God, but until we put our actions and put our self into that, into the motion of accomplishing that, faith without works is dead. We can't have faith without moving. Moses said, "I can't speak, I can't do this, these are my excuses why I can't. God, I cannot do these things." But Moses experienced God once he got beyond those excuses. How? Because he stepped out in faith and did what God had called him to do. This is what God told Moses in Exodus 4:11-12. I'm going to wrap it up. Exodus 4:11-12 says, "So the Lord said to him, 'Who has made man's mouth?'" Good point. "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" Wow. He cut right to the core, didn't he? God was telling him, "Now therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." Somebody needs to hear this today. Whatever limitation you're putting on God, has not God created you? Has not God created everything that's around you? Has God not given you the provision with your health to breathe, the light? Everything that you are enjoying today, God has given you. And can't God do the thing that you can't see him doing? God can put it all together. Whatever your excuse is, God's taking the lid off today. Believe God, trust God, step out in faith, and be obedient to God. And we will see the reward of the Lord. Moses ultimately obeyed God. God worked miracles in and through Moses' life because he obeyed God. He was obedient to God. There's one final word I want to give you today. As I was thinking about the life of Moses, and at 80 years old, leading the people out of the wilderness, 80 years old, you say, well, what took Moses so long? The important part is that Moses obeyed God. At 80 years old, Moses obeyed God. But I think about what led up to Moses' life, and I go back to when Moses was born. Jochebed was Moses' mom. Jochebed and all the family were slaves. And if you recall, Moses was a son that was born to Jochebed, and when Moses was 3 months old, they were going to take the life of the sons. And so Jochebed, the mom of Moses, took Moses. Can you, moms, you know the love for your baby, for your child? Jochebed got a basket, and she lined it. Can you imagine the effort that she put into that basket, knowing that at 3 months old she was going to place Moses in that basket and was going to take him to the Nile River and set that basket there? Why would she do that? Because she loved Moses so much. And she wanted to see him live and not die. She had faith in God. And so if you think about Jochebed taking Moses, 3 months old, and the last kiss that she placed on his forehead as she laid him in that basket, and then took the basket to the river and sat it there, and then went and hid and watched that basket float down the river. The last glimpse that she saw maybe of Moses, what was going through her mind? I mean, I can't even imagine. I'm not a mother. I'm a father. But they say the love of a mom for a baby like that is we can't even fathom it. I can't fathom what you mothers, how you love your babies. And thinking about the choices that Jochebed made for Moses, what had happened if Jochebed had made any other decision? What I'm saying is the faith in Moses to lead the people out of Egypt was found by the fruit of the mom. The prayer of Moses' mom. The time spent with God. See, Jochebed knew God. How could she have faith enough in God to place her 3-month-old baby in a basket, sit it in the river, and walk away? Except that she knew the power of her God. That she put so much faith in God that she turned around and walked away and saw Moses floating up river. What happened? What happened? Well, we know from the Bible that Pharaoh's daughter heard the baby crying, went. I mean, Jochebed didn't, she could not have put this together had she tried to pour all the strength she knew. But yet God had everything in order. And it was all because of the faithfulness of Jochebed, Moses' mother. Moses would not have been Moses. We wouldn't be talking about the story about Moses today had it not been for the sacrifice that Jochebed made. Had it not been for the love of Jochebed to place Moses, to give up her son, not knowing, she had no way of knowing, she did have faith in God and knew that God was going to work it all out, but had no way of knowing that she'd be the one called upon to feed her child. I want to tell you today, you moms and all of us here today, God has got the answer for you. God has got the answer for you. And if we just turn our eyes off of us and turn our eyes off of the situation and start looking at God and start experiencing God, start knowing God, He's going to work all these details out. These details are real. They're legitimate. Your concerns, they're there. You haven't made them up. They're there. But we've got a God bigger than those situations. We've got a God that's working on your behalf. You've just got to trust Him to do it. See, He can't fulfill the purpose in your life until you release that basket. Get that? God can't intervene on your behalf until you release that thing that's so dear to you. It's dear to you. It's important. And God is in that. God made Moses. Moses wasn't a mistake. Why did Jochebed have to go through that pain and agony and maybe sleepless nights of worrying? Why did Jochebed have to do that? See, I don't have all those answers. But I do know that through the action of Jochebed, that flowed down all these years later into Moses because of what mom did. Now Moses is standing on the same rock to accomplish what God's called him to. Why? Because of the faithfulness of his mother. Some of us may be here today and we don't have our mom with us, but you know what? The prayers that they prayed are still effective. If God can, from 3 months old in Moses' life to 80 years old, God can fulfill his purpose. See, time is not a matter for God. It took God 80 years to do it, to bring the fulfillment of his plan in Moses' life. Don't look at time the way we're prone to look at time. Yeah, I'm very time efficient, and I like to stay on time. I like to do things on time. I have it planned out. But you know what? God doesn't look at time the way we do. When God says he'll do something, we've got to trust him that he's going to do that thing. I want us to stand together this morning. I believe God's speaking to hearts. Y'all come on up, Crawford. God's speaking to hearts. God wants to accomplish something today. And I agree, Bob, with the word that you gave that God's going to do something in mothers' lives today. But even beyond that, God's going to do some work in all of our lives today to establish some words that's been given to you maybe years and years ago. Words that's been spoken to you and over you that you maybe you don't know anything about. Maybe you say, you know what? Maybe it was my grandparent. Maybe it was your pastor. Maybe it was someone in your life that spoke the living word of God and has caused you to actually be here today. Had it not been for that prayer prayed by someone in your life, maybe you wouldn't even be here today. Jochebed paid the price for Moses' success. And so I want to say to you today, don't allow your past issue or even your current issue to stop you from doing what God's called you to do. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. Don't be limited by what you see with your physical eyes, because there's no limitation in God. There's no limitation to God. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. I said, God's got a plan. I want us to bow our heads this morning. Some of you are being held back by excuses. Your excuses may be accurate, maybe they are. But God wants to break you out of your excuses. God wants you to know that he's for you. He wants to use you to do greater things, greater than what you ever imagined. I'm going to ask Crawford and the worship team to sing this song this morning. I'm going to come back and pray. But as